This particular parasha, Shemini, is primarily known for the ending of the reading, which deals with what's food and what's not food. That's what it really means. The Lord said, this is food, and the Lord said, this is not food. I did not want to speak about that. It's important, but there was a segment as I was reading the scripture that caught my attention because it was early. I'm familiar with this segment being in chapter 19 and in chapter 20, where it actually begins a chapter, but it's listed twice there, and it's also listed in 1 Peter. So the name of the message today is Holiness is Unpopular. Very unpopular. But, now you can add there, but God. But I added instead of just but God. The Lord said, Adonai said in chapter 11 twice. Then he repeats it again later on in chapters 19 and 20. But you shall be holy, for I, Adonai, your Elohim, am holy. The scripture, I'm taking the scripture, the 1 Peter version of this, beginning in verse 13 of chapter 1, 1 Peter. It says, so brace your minds for action. Keep your balance. I like that. Teachers like that. Keep your balance. And set your hope completely on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Yeshua the Messiah. Now, that revelation happens twice. It happens when you first meet him, when you first come to the Lord, and it's revealed to you, it comes in your heart, and you, as we say, you give your heart to the Lord. You become a believer, and at that point, all of the Holy Spirit, and they come, and they make an abode with you. But it will come to humanity when he returns. It says, like obedient children in verse 14, do not be shaped by the cravings you had formerly in your ignorance. I don't want to comment on that. I think it's self-evident. I certainly was ignorant of the things of God pre-October of 1978. But instead, just like the Holy One called you, be holy yourselves also in everything you do. This is New Testament. This is not back there in Leviticus. But then he quotes, Peter quotes the verse. For it is written, you shall be holy. The Hebrew word is kedoshim. For I am holy. The Hebrew word is kadosh. For it is written four times in other places as well, but just four times in Vayikra, in the book of Leviticus. I would like to speak about that. On March 20th of 2020, March 2nd of 2020, I'm sorry, in a message that was entitled, We Have Been Called to a Greater Level of Holiness and Obedience. In that message, I asked the following question. How far have we, meaning our society, fallen from the morality of Adonai? Verily, he would have to apologize. He, meaning Adonai, would have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah if he does not judge us. And that's written in Matthew chapter 10, verse 15. And it includes parts of Romans 9:29 and 2 Peter 2:6 and Jude 1:7. In that message, I also added the following statement. We have been given explicit instructions about living in a greater level of holiness and obedience. But it's not popular. It's not popular. The Apostle Peter said in the verse that follows that what I quoted above, in verse 18, you know that you were redeemed from the futile way of life. You know you were redeemed from the futile. Is that correct? That's how you say it? Okay. Way of life handed down from your ancestors. I didn't say that. Peter said that. We have often quoted that we've inherited a myriad of lies from our ancestors. We trust our ancestors. And in this case, we trust the things of God that have been passed down since who knows when. Because I have no clue what 200 years is like, or 400 years is like, or 1,000 years, or 1,700 years. But as I became more aware of the things of God, as knowledge began to increase, even before there was an internet, I came to the Lord in 1981. Even in 1981, before there was internet available for everybody, before there was AOL, okay? That's really getting old now. Okay, before there was any of that, there were books available, and I began to read in the books and began to understand that there was more to it than what I had been told. In fact, I came to the Lord because finally, someone could count 3 days and three nights. That was the turning point for me, the program Turning Point. That was a turning point for me. So then I wonder, well, how much else is he going to be able, that particular pastor, going to be able to set correct? Maybe this is just one chance. I figured, okay, I'm going to hold off and see if there's any more truth around here. That was a big one. But then there was a lot of other ones. And before very long, I started asking questions on the inside. I didn't let on to Marilyn and her friends. They continued to kid me about being the whatever I was. They said I was Catholic, and I think I said I was Catholic or something like that. But the reality is I was nothing. I wasn't even Catholic being raised up. It's just everybody around was Catholic, so called ourselves Catholic. We didn't go to anything. No. My mother had a particular aversion to passing the pan. Just a particular one. And other things like that. And I wonder, well, how many people in my family actually go? And when you're little, you don't count. But when you get a little bit older and you start going to high school, you start noticing that there's a lot of talk around here. And nobody really goes. When I was little, I went. I was forced to go. And then they say, well, come in and become an altar boy. I say, okay, I like to ring the bells. And so I get up at 6:15 in the morning and walk half a mile and be there. Then I started to see things. And I started to see how holy certain things were supposed to be and how unholy they were when they were in front of people. And I started to see things like we're told that, you know, this has been turned into the body and the blood and supposed to be treated with respect. But then behind the scenes, there were other things going on. And even though I'm sixth grade, I'm starting to figure it out. This is all a pantomime. Now, we had to be called Catholics or I couldn't go to school. And the schools were terrible. Schools were loaded with heroin and all kinds of drugs. The public schools in Puerto Rico were a mess. In 1960, imagine what they are now. And my mom wasn't going to send me there. She said, no, I'm not sending you there so that you can become a drug addict. She was a pharmacist. So she was teaching us about drugs and things like that. And I wanted to play music. So, you know, music and drugs tend to go together in Puerto Rico at that time. So, all right, so in order to go to a good school so that you can go and become an engineer, she said, we have to do this. And so we did. So we did. And, you know, you had to say you were. Okay? You had to sign here. Okay. You got to get this paper. Okay. Whatever it took. That's what she did. And she was determined to do that so that her children would not be lost, would get an education, and that I could eventually come to the United States. But I began to question even then, what's going on? Why is it look one way in front of everybody and it looks another way behind closed doors? You know, a kid just going to ask those questions. How come? And I think I may have asked my mom, whose response was an automatic raising of the voice and whatever, and none of your business, you know, that kind of thing. I got it. She may not have said that, but I got it. Okay, not asking about that no more. Just grin and bear it. And that's when I became of age. I came to the United States at 16 years old, so I wasn't considered of age here. I was considered of age in Puerto Rico. Right? At 16 years old, in the great state of Louisiana, in the great city of Shreveport, staying at Barksdale Air Force Base in Bossier City, in that great state and all those things, I couldn't do anything. They wouldn't let me into anything. Legal age was 18 there. Well, I wasn't 18 yet. In Puerto Rico, it didn't matter. In Puerto Rico, it didn't matter. I was going to bars and things like that since I was 9 years old. And I didn't become an alcoholic. You got to have money to buy this stuff. Not free. I became a really good pool player because you could play for a quarter, and if you won, you got to play again. So either you pay quarters to learn, but eventually you learn and you become, and I became pretty good. I became pretty good, pretty good pool player. I could play a while. Pinball machines too. I could do a particular machine with 10 cents and stay there for hours and leave it with 75 games won to the next person to come in. I was very skillful with that. You know, I had all these great skills that mean nothing. They're useful for nothing. The pinball wizard, they used to call me in when I started college. In our society, to me, it is obvious that Yeshua's admonition, he who has ear, let him hear. And Yeshua said that. He said it when he was with the apostles. So you find it in the Gospels, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 15, and in Mark 4, 9, and 23. But you're also going to hear that being said when Yeshua comes as a messenger to John the Revelator. I didn't understand this about if you have ears, let him hear. It's like, what, are you like not hearing? You know, that's would interpret that as a kid. Well, he who has ears. Well, everybody has ears. Let him hear. What is it? They can't hear? Ah, they refuse to hear. Okay, so I could figure that much out. When asked by his disciples why he was speaking to the crowd in parables, Yeshua said, refer to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 through 13. We did too. That's called the Kedushah. The Kedushah prayer contains Isaiah 6, verse 3, and we say it in Hebrew. Kadosh, 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 Adonai Tzvaot. Melo kol ha'aretz kevodo. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. But in Isaiah, further from that, After Isaiah says, I'm undone, and all those things, and the coal comes in, they cleanse his voice, and we can play this song, you know, etc. The Lord continues in teaching Isaiah, you're going to be speaking for me. And he says to Isaiah that people will have eyes and ears, but they have hardened their hearts and chosen to ignore the word of Adonai. Okay, that's Matthew 13:10 and Isaiah 6:8-10. Part of the judgment of people who refuse to believe and hear what the Lord has to say is that there is a finite window of opportunity for you to believe, and you may actually miss it. You may actually miss it. That's the truth. Okay? So you could eventually lose the opportunity to believe. That's in Matthew 13:12 and Romans 1:18-32. But then we see Yeshua saying the same words when he returns and speaks to John the Revelator, to each of the seven messianic congregations. I know they say churches, but they weren't really churches. Let's be technically correct. They were messianic congregations, primarily Jewish and becoming quite Gentile in every place. Why is it that Paul always went to the synagogue first? To get the Jews saved, to the Jew first, and then get some of those and then get some of the others. That's what it was. The so-called church in the book of Acts was a messianic congregation in the book of Acts. The actual Catholic Church did not get born till the year 300. But you can just check it out yourself. You can just check it out. Of course, they say they were born with Peter, who was the first pope. I don't think Peter ever knew he was a pope. And what it says to the Messianic congregation, it says, whoever has ears, let him hear. Of course, we know what that means. Ears is a word in Hebrew that is a naim word. It's a dusi. A bear's word. Okay, whoever has ears, a specific word, let him hear. That word, let him hear, means let him shma. And we know what it means. We know what it means now. When it says let him hear, that means let him prove that he heard by doing what he said. Let him prove what he heard by doing what he said. We have an English word that doesn't quite capture the meaning, but it's close. You know, close enough for is it horseshoes? It's close enough for horseshoes. It's called obedience. And then, following the description of the anti-Messiah, of course, when I say that, you don't know what I'm talking about. Because we don't know that Christ is in the last name of Jesus. Jesus Christ, that's, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Christ bore him. Christ means anointed one. The word in Hebrew is Mashiach, Messiah. So this could have been translated Yeshua the Messiah, but they chose not to. So, okay, whatever. Following the description of the anti-Messiah, that is the Antichrist, we read again, whoever has ears, let him hear. What is it? How many times are you going to say it? Seven times plus now after the Messiah? And how many times is the Lord going to say, you shall be holy because I, Adonai, your Elohim, I'm holy? How many times is he going to say it? Evidently, he understood our difficulty. Our difficulty is not that we don't have ears to hear. So the word for hearing that is not the word Shema, there's another word for hearing that's not the word Shema, means that it can go in and out, right? We practice that in marriages. We practice that with significant relationships. We're great practicers of, you know, I've been many times that I've been called to, you're not listening to me. And then the person will say, yes, I am listening to you. And what did I say? And I repeat what she said. And then she'll still say, you're still not listening to me. Is that correct, ladies? Is that correct? I mean, is that not correct? Because I don't want to be incorrect here. Okay, mostly correct. The Lord has been speaking to me. Actually, I have been disquieted. I had to find words to explain. I've been disquieted in my spirit for several weeks now. Because it keeps being brought up again and again and again. What have I been being disquieted about? About our congregation's holiness practice. Or lack thereof. So I kept putting it off. And then this parachute hit. And it's repeated twice. It's like, you want another time? No, three strikes, you're out. I said, no, Lord, I don't want to strike out. I'll speak about it. As I said before, the Hebrew word translated holy, 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 is the word kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. And that's the dance that we do to the song that was written using those words, kadosh, by Elisheva Shomron. It means, in the dictionary, in the Hebrew dictionary, kadosh means to sanctify, which means to be set apart for sacred use. To consecrate, that means to declare something as sacred. To declare holy, that means to declare it divine. To purify and to cleanse. That's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be that. Because he's that. I'm not sure those words even closely describe him. Because he is holy. But he wants us to be holy. A different kind of holy? Maybe. Maybe not. We're called to be, you see, when you say sanctified, that also means to separate. Or to be separate. To be separate from society and culture, but not about everything when it comes to the things and the word of Adonai. We're supposed to be separate. We are instructed to put on the Lord Messiah Yeshua and stop making provisions for the flesh, for its cravings. In the King James, I'm a kind of a King James fan to a certain extent because that's the Bible that I got saved under. And that's the Bible I memorized, all the scriptures. And, you know, I can quote that. I cannot quote the TLV. It uses English. And I actually became really good at this so-called English that everybody else has trouble with. So, when I got saved, all you people in Ocala have difficulty saying speak and all these other things. Well, I don't have any problem with that. And so it was kind of And I memorized it, and I can quote it with the best of them. The King James said, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Ooh, I like that. I like that. That speaks to me. You see, part of being holy and separate is that we cannot make provisions for the flesh. What do you mean by that? Okay, now I'm going to get into some specifics. I'm going to try not to meddle. That's going to be very hard for me. Maybe you do not know, or maybe you do know, but maybe you do not know that Satan exercises power through evil things. Maybe you haven't figured that out. Maybe you're a little not paying attention too much. Well, what do you mean evil things? The Bible declares mediums evil. Horoscopes trying to predict evil. The Bible declares tarot cards evil. The Bible declares certain objects, artifacts, as evil. They are evil toys. Evil toys? Evil toys. Evil toys. They're evil toys, okay? There's one called a Ouija board. Terrible. Games. The Bible actually has to say something about certain games. And when it comes to computer games, I said, Lord, how about that? And last night at 9:45, I was going from one thing to another. This shows up, this PlayStation. No, a game for PlayStation. And it had a blue thing. I tried to capture it with my phone, but I'm not fast enough. And it had, in the blue thing, five things. Said, this game is loaded with horror. This game is loaded with violence. This game is loaded with this and this and that and the other. I mean, it just advertised right there. I mean, I can be just excited about getting that for my son or daughter. The problem is, it's not about the son or daughter anymore. Like I said, I'm going to try not to. Books. From the beginning of time, you have to be careful with books. Not every book is a book about the Lord. Not every book is a good book. Books are loaded with stuff. Art. Art is absolutely been taken over sometimes by the evil one. There's some good music and there's some bad music. I don't want to put labels on music and say, well, all rock music is bad. That's not right. That's not true. But I want to tell you that not all classical music is good. Hello? Hello? Can you tell me what bolero is all about? Dun, 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 dun. Why does it repeat over and over? Can you tell me what ritual fire dance is all about? Famous piece by Bernstein in the New York Philharmonic. Famous! It's not very good, the subject matter. If you've ever been on a boat, we'll not go again. But anyway, if you've ever been a tourist somewhere, and you go to any particular country, but you know, particularly boats, they tend to stop in islands. I was born in an island. And they sell things like our curios and souvenirs, whether it's Bahamas, Puerto Rico, Cuba, Jamaica, and whatever. They sell souvenirs, and they often don't look all that. Oh, they're so cute. Awesome. I just want to get that and take it home. There are Halloween costumes. Just the word Halloween itself, but let me leave that alone for a second. Why do you want to dress up like a witch or a warlock? Why do you want to dress up like a demon? What is that about? There's paraphernalia. It used to be the paraphernalia was only used for drug things, right? Drug paraphernalia. Of course, now it's legal because Biden made it legal. There are TV shows and movies that are not good. Oh, really? The Ephesian believers got rid of occult books and items and burned them in a heap before everyone. And then Acts 19, 19 through 20. This is speaking of Ephesus. Then it says, the word of the Lord grew with power, prevailing among them. It's interesting that the Bible says when they got rid of all this paraphernalia and books and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, they burned them in a pile. Okay? Then the word of God, the word of the Lord grew, I quoted it, in power among them. Acts 19, 19 and 20. I want to ask the question to the congregation. What makes our congregation think that we're exempted from such things? What makes us think that we have a higher form of learning or a higher form of tolerance or a higher form of whatever? I mean, this is Paul. This is in Paul's time. He's the biggie. He's the biggie. And these things happen. They grab him and torture him and all kinds of stuff happen. Now, since God's word, evidently, it says right here, is hindered by evil things and objects, shouldn't you and I strive to get rid of them? Let me say that again. I'm meddling about. Okay? If the Lord said in his word, declare some things evil, evil objects, evil whatever, should we have those in our home? No. Why not? Adonai said so. I'm going to leave it there. Adonai said so. That settles the matter. There shouldn't be anything else I need to ask. Ask him. You know, there's only one way to deal with items that the Lord's declared evil. You know what the Bible says? Read it. Deuteronomy 7, 25 and 26. You are to burn them. Okay. I don't mean recycle. I don't mean put it in the green box over in the county. I don't mean any of those things. No, we want to insert here. Well, obviously, if I put it in the trash can, I got rid of it. Not biblically. Biblically, the only way to get rid of those things is to burn them. Let me show you some examples. And then I'm going to have Marilyn at some point come and share. I think I'm okay in time. Here's some documented cases by believers. Okay, let me say again. These are documented cases by believers. I have personal knowledge of the majority of these. Personal knowledge of the majority of these. So I'm not quoting somebody else out there. And I'm certainly not quoting you guys. Because this is the 30th year. I've been in the congregation since it started in 1992. Because I started it. By myself, because Marilyn wasn't all that much on board. Okay? She can tell you about it. Here's an example. A believing young woman would sense an evil presence when reading the Bible. Are you supposed to have an evil presence when reading the Bible? No. Do you think the enemy wants you to read the Bible? No. Does he want to hear you quote it? No. Is he going to hang around? No. But he's hanging around. Okay. Got to be something. Don't you think? He's doing something he really doesn't want to do. He must think he has the upper hand. The question was asked by a Christian counselor, a pastor, you know, whatever. I just let it that way, so not to make it specific and personal. Hey, have you been dating or had been in a relationship with an ungodly young man? The young lady said yes. So the questioning continued. Did he give you gifts? Yes. Get rid of them. Now, usually when people are in a counseling situation, they tend to do what was said. So she did, and the evil presence when reading the scripture went away. But then a couple months later, she experienced it again. This time, she didn't start thinking, well, maybe I slipped, or maybe some other. So she then asked the Lord, asked the Holy Spirit, is there something I overlooked? And started just looking around her personal things. And she found, okay, a ring. Oh, you ladies love rings. Don't preach, Rabbi. Don't. Just don't. She found a ring that was given, he had given her, and she had overlooked it. It wasn't even on certain purpose. She just didn't remember he had given her that. Wasn't even using it. Just, but it's parked in a special box, you know, parked there. So she went and got rid of it. Didn't ask anybody. She just went and got rid of it. She experienced freedom the rest of her life about that. No more. Oh, that's some more. A man brought back a ritual mask from the islands. Well, this could have been Puerto Rico or Cuba or Jamaica or Haiti, and placed it in his home office. Didn't think anything about it. It even didn't even look that evil, but it was kind of a curious thing. So he puts it in his office. Then after a little while, he starts feeling a lot of sickness. And then there's some marriage pressures that he had never had before. And everybody's kind of angry around, especially the wife. Happy life, happy wife, right? Unhappy wife, unhappy life. And then there were lots of things that irritated him at home. I would say the cat was even irritating, you know, whatever. He starts noticing things. Didn't know what to do, so he kind of shrugs it off, and I guess I better have to do better. Well, as it turns out, spring cleaning comes, and the wife says, you know, you need to take all this stuff to your office at work. Because there's just not enough room here to even put your chair or put in anything. So he packs up a bunch of his stuff. Packs the mask. I don't need this here. So he takes it to his home, to his office at work. Okay? And then in a week or two, he starts having severe business problems. And then he starts losing money. Okay, that the big one right there. Why am I losing money? Okay. So then, he's a believer, so he started praying and asking the Holy Spirit, help me, Lord, help me, Lord. He helps me all the time. He helped me find my key to the Mercedes-Benz. When I found that, I had been blaming Marilyn for losing it. Okay, but the key that was found, that was lost, that the Lord showed me yesterday, had a domino attached to it. A domino. I give it to her. She says, a domino? What? It's from Puerto Rico, Tony. Isn't that yours? So said, oh, she said, she's so nice. Let's swap. Give me the one with the Mercedes, and you take the one with the domino, because, you know, Puerto Rico, and you're domino guy. I get upstairs. Before long, it's like, oh, that was my key anyway. I always had that key, and she had the other one, because it's prettier. So, when the key was returned to us by Amelise and Stephen, they returned a pretty one. And I stuck it in my keychain. And then started giving her a hard time about the missing key that she misplaced. And we went through every bag. There were like all these five different six bags that come to the service. And I'm looking for it in there. And all I do is hit pins and start bleeding in my fingers and everything else. And I'm like, oh, there's a breaking out here. But I'm trying to be nice and say nothing. And then start praying, Lord, show me where the key is. Show me where the key is. So yesterday he showed me where the key is, but he also showed me I was the one who put it there. My wife didn't have anything to do with it. I did. Then I said, honey, before we go to bed, I need to confess last night. So I did. I did confess. And she said, oh, what are you confessing about? Well, I said, I misjudge you and everything. He said, no, I probably was probably right. She's probably right. This time it wasn't probably right. It was wrong. I was the one who put the key in the car, and the other key that's been flying around is your key, and the lost key is mine. I lost it. I said to myself, I must be ready to preach. I am ready to preach because that's the truth. So the Lord showed him where, said, he looked at the mask and it seemed in his spirit, he goes, that's kind of ugly. Now he didn't burn it, he just got rid of it. Stopped losing money. Stopped having issues at work. When you pull the chain of the thing that, especially the wallet in a guy, he pays attention. It must have been the mask. I could tell you where those masks come from. The religion is called voodoo. It's all over our island, Helen. Okay. Two elderly women had a sister. The sister was insane. And they took care of her. Okay, they moved in with her where the sister was because it was easier to move to her place. And after they'd been there a while, they started cleaning things up. What else are two old ladies going to do, right? I'm being funny, okay? Don't start throwing tomatoes. So what are ladies going to do? Well, this is going to start cleaning. So they start cleaning and putting things away. And these old pictures, that's an ugly picture. And start to get rid of stuff, okay? And then they found some art objects. And they're like, And some books that were like weird. And pictures and things. They threw it all away. They didn't burn it. Within 2 days, the sister snapped out of her insanity. Snapped out. Boom. Snapped out. And started acting normal. I know you don't believe me. So, I like Marilyn to tell you a story. And maybe I'm going to let, if you hang on a second and tell you a story, I'm going to read what's left and then you tell the story. I want Marilyn to tell a story about my son, Ian, the Tigger man. Tigger. Da-da-ga-da-da-ga-da-da-ga-da-da-ga-da-da-da. We call him Tigger because he was never so bouncing up and down, touching the roof. You name it. Okay? So my son got a gift. And at some point, it was a little weird around the house. I can tell the story, but it won't be as effective as if she tells the story. Now, I want to ask a question. This is where the Spirit has been bugging me. Are you going to? Lord, you know that when you talk about holiness and things like that, people get mad. Lord? And it's like, you know, the Lord turns into a wall sometimes. You talk to the wall or you want to, and it doesn't speak, issue a peak. It's like, you got anything else? You know, like, you didn't say nothing. And you keep talking, and eventually you go, oh, the silent treatment, huh? Holy Spirit. And I've been around the Holy Spirit a while, so I start talking to him. If I start talking to him, he starts talking to me. Didn't answer the question. Every once in a while, he'll drop a hint like, this scripture comes to mind, and you go, What makes you think? What makes me think that you can live a successful messianic life and continue to eat food that God didn't call food? That's all I'm going to say. What makes you think that we can read the vilest literature? What makes you think that we can watch the most sensual or horrific TV or movies? What makes you think that you can just get on the Disney wagon? Of course, now I'm really stepping on something. And other occult-themed movies. What do you mean? Well, let me say that anything that has magic, anything that has witches, anything that has warlocks, anything that has half-human, half-beast characters, anything that has horrific events, bloodshed, carnage, Harry Potter. Okay? Let me just say that stuff is not found in the Bible. Except to say it's bad stuff. What makes you think that we can just get away with, oh, you know, my everybody quotes the Frozen. And the girl goes, and something comes out of her hand and all that kind of stuff. You okay. You go like, yeah, but I watched that and it didn't bother me. You know, this is where I'm not the Holy Spirit. In fact, I really didn't want to do this. You should be honest. I've been doing really good lately. I don't want to do this. So, what makes you think that you can play this? PlayStation. It's Microsoft. That should be enough. Bill Gates. That should be enough. I always knew Microsoft was a problem. And now I have proof. The owner is Bill Gates. He has your best interest in mind. How do you think that you can do all of this and not have your intimacy with Adonai suffer? What if your intimacy suffers? Oh, well, that's not a big deal. Okay, well, then he won't be compelled to reveal to you the future like he did to Abraham. I made a point, make that this year. The point was that Adonai said, I have a personal relationship with him. Why shouldn't I tell him what I'm about to do, which involves his family? But if you're not listening, if you're disconnected, if that stuff is happening, of course, you know, well, you just suffer because you don't know. And you don't know because, well, I wasn't supposed to know. What if you were supposed to know? What if he would have told you? What if you had decided you wanted to be a little holier. Well, I start jumping up and down. And let's have the long hair. And let's have the long dresses. And, you know, that's what every one of you imagine when I say holiness. The bottoms of the priest's garment had something written. You know what it said? What? The garment of the priest had written in the bottom, just like that has the blessing, holiness unto the Lord. Any priests around here? Any ministers around here? I know you're not going to like me. You just go ahead and vote me out. I ask you a question. When are you going to get rid of bad habits, destructive habits in your life? Well, I'm a fine one to talk, huh? So you look at me and say, oh, right. Look at you. You must be eating everything. Actually, I don't eat everything. I'm working on it. We want the revival to begin in our congregation. Well, anyway, I do. I'm the one that keeps saying, Lord, why not us? Why not us? And then some of you have actually joined in the choir to say, why not us? Why not us? Well, guess what time is it? It's time to clean the house of Hametz. It is time after Purim. The next thing that comes is Pesach, and we have to get rid of the Hametz in the house. But let me tell you something. Aren't you the house of the Lord? Aren't you the temple of the Lord? When are you going to get rid of the Hametz? What is it that the Holy Spirit is wanting to knocking in and saying, let me have some of that? And you, no. I just enjoy it too much. You can't have nothing. We just go plumb out of balance and start telling the Lord we don't have nothing. Talk to him that way. See how many walls you get to talk to. I have a good speech with walls. But if I want the Lord to talk to me, I'm going to have to listen. Shema. Huh? Shema. Oh, what's the word for shema? Obey. Obey? What? Obey? If we are ready to do a deep house cleaning and get rid of the Hametz, even if it were just crumbs, huh? Even if it's just crumbs, we're supposed to clean it in our houses. Shouldn't we be doing the same on the inside? I'm not talking specifically of sin here. Sometimes it's just bad habits. Sometimes it's uneducation. Sometimes it's really selfishness. You say, well, selfishness is sin. Well, okay. I want to ask the question that guy asked when he had none to do. We started losing money. I better ask the Lord. Lord, I'm losing money. Ask the Holy Spirit, is there any areas in your house that are contaminated? We do that. And we find Hametz and get rid of it. What do you do with the Hametz? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. Is that right we do? What do we do with the Hametz? Oh, we burn it? Is that what they do? Burn it? Oh, interesting, huh? Don't you think that's interesting? I think it's interesting. Whether it's in your home, in your office, in your car, in whatever your jurisdiction is. He will show you like he did, Marilyn. And she's going to come. Get ready. Get your thing. Come up. Are you hiding anything that's not godly in nature? Ask the Lord if he's interested in that book. if he's interested in that game, if he's interested in that, just say, okay, Yeshua, let me dress you up with this Halloween costume. You dare? No, but we do. Are you hiding anything that's not godly? If you're honest with your own self, can you identify things that are keeping you from the awesome relationship with Adonai that you were meant to be? Let me tell you what, who showed up today? Mr. Clean. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. All right. You know, none of this is meant to be critical at all for anyone, because all of us were at one time without understanding about these things. And as a young believer, I had lots of questions for the Lord, because his word says that I was more than an overcomer, but I was more than defeated all the time. I fasted a lot in those days. And truly, I did. I fasted a lot. I prayed hours a day, and I was still defeated. I mean, seriously, in some areas. And it just drove me bonkers, really. So I said, Lord, I've got to know. I've got to understand. And so the Lord says, I'm going to teach you. We had someone at visiting our congregation. This was before we were leading a congregation. And a visiting minister. And so I went up for prayer that night, and so he ended up giving me a prophetic word. I didn't tell him anything. I said, just pray whatever the Lord puts on your heart. I didn't ask for a particular prayer. And so in praying for me, the Lord gave me a message that he was going to answer my questions. And the way he did that, the way he began that, was he moved someone next door to me, to our home at that time. And this person was totally involved, deeply involved in deliverance ministry. So I got to learn a lot about what kept me defeated and what keeps us as believers defeated. The most believers don't have a clue that believers can have a demon or be influenced by a demon. And, you know, that was, I'm going, God, that's heresy, because that's what I was taught. And I came from a Pentecostal background, and they were certainly more open to those kinds of things, but deliverance was not popular when I was growing up. So anyway, that's where it all began for me. The Lord began to teach me about that realm that we didn't know anything about at the time. And so in doing that, I then became sensitive to many evil things around, and how the enemy uses objects and how he uses any medium that he can use to bring us into some level of bondage or just torture. He just loves to torture God's people. And there are many ways to do that. And one of the ways is with repetitive thoughts. If you think about that area, since this month we are working on having the Lord show us areas where we're struggling, where we have strongholds, or just something that's bothering us. If you have a reoccurring thought that just nags you or torments you, that is a demonic thought. So ask the Lord to bring all those things to surface to you. And I can say this week he has had his big loving thumb on my heart. Oh boy, because I offered it to him. And he will definitely take you up on that. And sometimes it's not pretty, but when it's not pretty to clean out an oven, but when the job is done, you feel so differently, and it's so beautiful. It was so worth the pain and the agony of having to do that. And the same is true of our hearts. We gain a freedom, just a level, another level of freedom with the Lord. So
share the story, please.
I have to get there. I'm almost there. So we had little children when we started the congregation. And so there were many things that I was learning about, you know, how the enemy used objects to, like he was just talking about, from the islands and every kind of thing. And especially for our children, there was beginning to be so much occult toys for our children. They did not look like occult toys in those days. They do now. They're just blatant occult. I mean, the toy aisles in Walmart, there, it's Halloween all year round. So anyway, like the Cabbage Patch dolls, those were demonic. The Barbie dolls, pornographic. They were created for pornography. And remember the whole angel craze? Everybody had, there were just angels everywhere and guardian angels and all of that. That was all demonic stuff. And it was just a way that the enemy uses to get into our lives. The Harry Potter thing at one of the conferences, a six-year-old boy cast a spell on one of the girls. She became violently ill at that moment. So that's a whole thing. I mean, that really, really happened. And these are believers at a messianic conference. This is happening. So anyway, in my experience, the one of the things the Lord showed me is that if there is something that is in excess, there is a demonic component to it. Whatever is excessive in our lives, whether it's a repetitive thought, whether it's an action that we do or somebody else does. What happened, we had a friend that brought a couple of toys to Ian, and I don't know how old he was, six maybe by then. They brought him a Transformer car and a Chuck Norris doll. The Chuck Norris doll, just he had on shorts, and if you squeeze his legs together, his arms would do this, you know, because of he was a karate guy in the movies. And there are many, many people that have, taken karate classes without understanding what is behind those things and what is behind the strength of those things. Every level is a new devil, stronger devil. So what happened with us is then my son became... He started at some point jumping around, doing the karate jumps and yells and stuff. He didn't know that. I didn't even think anything about the doll because he just had on shorts. And I'm going, okay, Chuck Norris. You know, we didn't really go to his movies or anything, but we knew who he was. And so it just became... It became crazy. He had never seen anybody do karate. He'd never seen a movie about karate. He knew nothing about karate.
7 years old.
Yeah, six or seven, one of those. But he is continuously, if I don't have him doing something, he's jumping up and down. He's doing karate chops and yells and kicks. This went on, for 2 or 3 months or something. And even Amelie, she's following him around doing the same thing that he did. And she's 4 years younger. So I was beside myself. I'm going, Lord, there is something in this house. What is it? I had already gotten rid of the Transformer. That thing was obviously dark. So I'm going, okay, he'll put it away and forget about it. And it's going out. So that I got rid of. But the Chuck Norris doll, I had forgotten about. I'd totally forgotten about that doll. But I began praying. I said, Lord, you've got to show me. You've got to show me what this is. This is crazy. And so one day I was doing laundry, folding laundry, putting laundry away. And I opened one of his drawers. And that doll, that Chuck Norris doll, he was only this big, was in that drawer. I'm going, oh, there you are. There you are. I found you. Thank you, Lord. I found you. I picked that thing up. I didn't say a word to my kids. I didn't say a word to Tony. But I took that thing out of my house. I prayed over my children and my home. And I got rid of that thing. So for 2 weeks, I waited for 2 weeks before I said a word to Tony. Rabbi, sorry. He's Tony at home. But he's my rabbi at home, too. But anyway, I waited because I wanted to see what was going to happen. All of the activity that they were doing instantly stopped. Wow. Instantly stopped. I never said a word to them. Never. I did not lay hands on them and pray for them. Not at all. I prayed out of their hearing, and I got rid of that demon that was tormenting them and me all day long. So until they fell asleep at night. And so yes, that truly happened. And then when 2 weeks later, I asked Tony when he came home, I said, have you noticed anything lately? He didn't think too much about it, but I had to tell him. He said, oh, wow, you are right. I mean, it just stopped. Completely stopped. So anyway, the enemy will use any kind of object. And there are so many things that are demonic out there. Even clothes, patterns on clothes. If some pattern on a piece of clothes that I've had through the years, sometimes that pattern will bother me. I will go over it and over it and over it again and again. At some point, I'm going, I don't see anything, but there is something wrong with this pattern. I am getting rid of it, whatever it was. And so I've done that kind of stuff. But yes, it is important. We just wanted to share it again because in the early years of the congregation, we talked about this and we taught everybody and we were all learning together. We taught about this because we all had children growing up and we had to be so careful what they saw, what they played with, who they played with. So many things like that, and the enemy is vicious. He's vicious to destroy our children, and he's vicious against any of us for any reason. He wants an area of our heart, our life, and but the Lord will show you. And if you have anything that you're concerned about, if you want to ask us about, we'd be glad to talk with you about it or even pray with you about it. Thank you.
Jacob, can you put the slides? The Lord took me to Yom Kippur, the portions of a prayer for Yom Kippur. I'd like to do it together. Would you stand, please? In closing, I read the blue, you read the red. Our God and God of our fathers, may our prayer come before you. We have trespassed. We have robbed. We have acted perversely. We have been presumptuous. We have framed lies. We have scoffed. We have provoked. We have committed iniquity. We have oppressed. We have done wickedly. We have committed abominations. We have turned away from your commandments and your judgments that are good. And the truth of the matter is, I'll read one, somebody else read another one. Okay, I'll start. For the sin, this is the Al-Het, and we do this. Remember? Oh, it's a good one. It's a good one. It's really good for today. For the sin with which committed before you under compulsion or of our own will. Somebody, not a whole, a person, a different person each time. Come on, somebody else. No more. Joe already did it. Stephanie did it. No, come on. For all these, O God of forgiveness, forgive us, pardon us, and cleanse us. Come on, there's plenty here for everybody to say one. For all these, O God of forgiveness, forgive us, pardon us, and cleanse us. I acknowledge my transgressions, guilty, and my sin is ever before me. Therefore, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Consider the following. Whatever is questionable, ask the Lord. Don't ask me. Find it in the Bible. I don't think it changes mine. It's there. So if there's anything questionable, two things can happen. You can have the enemy torment you, like Marilyn described. But let me tell you another one that happens. You can be hindered from responding to the Lord. Why some people are having a hard time coming to the Lord? Why are some people having a hard time just getting warm in the things of God? You see, things can also hinder our, you know, if he can keep us from getting hot on the Lord, if he can keep us, you know, if we can, he can keep us from coming on Shabbat. If he can keep us from having a fight every Shabbat. If he can keep us from, you know, the clothes don't work, or the in to get whatever situation we get in. If he can keep us from any of that, he's actually keeping us from a blessing. I would like to know why our congregation is not ready for revival. This is what I was talking to him about. Okay, Lord, I will be the fool, and I'll keep saying it, and I'll keep preaching it. The results aren't mine. They're yours. I understand. Believe me, I understand. I can't make you. I wish I could, you know. I've been under pastors in other places that do try. They're not successful either. I can't make you. We're really going to go to the next level. It's going to take 100% of us. If we're really going to experience revival, it's going to take 100% of us. So we got what? Next Friday night is the first day of the month of Aviv. And 14 days later, which is Thursday night, April the 15th, tax day, we're going to have our Seder. It's the season for the reason, and the reason for the season. It's the season for the reason, and the reason for the season. We need to make, look inward. Ask the question, is there anything that the Lord would rather us not be involved with, see, have, whatever? You do it. I'm not going to say another word. As far as I'm concerned, I obeyed. And I'm still being like, because I was on a roll preaching short messages, doing all these things. And he's like, He even said, Lord, if I give Marilyn the thing, she's going to preach for another 15 minutes. And I'm going to get blamed. So I'm done. You guys, it's in your hands. It's in your hands, congregation. If we're going to make a difference in this world, we have to be holy because Adonai, our God, is holy. It's in the Torah. It's in the prophets. It's in the writings. It's in the Gospels. It's in the book of Revelation. It's in the book of... Really? Yeah, even Peter had something to say about it. Paul had plenty to say about it in the book of Romans. It's all over the place, and it's not anything that we're interested in. We got to somehow respond to the Holy Spirit. Somehow this year, our cleansing has to go a little further so that we can experience just a little more. Look, the revival's already started in other places. How long?